This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandu.
Arvind Braj.
Of course, our producer is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
It's that time of the day, 12:33, where we are going to have a KLCI update at break. Arvind.
Yeah, so the FBM KLCI is down by 0.01% by 1,533 points. Active stocks by volume include InNature Berhad, Powerwell Holdings Berhad, and DGB Asia Berhad. And a quick look at the ringgit, it is at 4.18 against the US dollar.
What about the pound, Arv?
Against the pound, it is at 5.40.
Holy canoe. It's not time to go home yet, is it?
Not with that kind of number.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, of course, we're asking you about etiquette and this age-old problem of people being unable to communicate properly. Mm-hmm. That's what we think, anyway. So we're asking you, should email and phone etiquette be taught to kids in school? Why or why not? Is it an outdated mode of communication? Is it something we're going to be seeing the end of? And should we be allowing stuff like phone speak or text speak or whatever to be used in emails? You know, can people communicate professionally via WhatsApp or via Instagram? It's a big discussion. We've had some stuff via WhatsApp, of course. We've got some tweets, mm-hmm. and we've got some Insta messages. We've also got polls running, but we'll go to WhatsApp first. Jeff?
Yeah, so Salah Mukhtar says, manners, so many times you call someone and wishing them a good morning message and the answer will come in as yes.
Yeah,
actually, that's pretty true. Like, yeah, I've heard that many times before. When you try to call someone and you're like, "Hey, morning." Yes. You're like,
"Who is this? I don't recognize your number. My name is Arvind."
Yeah.
That's why what happens, because people forget to put the name of the caller in their phone.
Yeah,
yep. Guilty.
Yes.
Guilty.
Maggie Best says, "Being progressive should not be at the expense of being polite. Doesn't matter the medium used. Shortcuts should not be an excuse and used to the extent of being incomprehensive. When an email, a letter, or whatever mode of message, the subject should be clear and obvious. Recipients shouldn't have to search the email from top to bottom trying to figure out what the message is all about. With a clear subject, it makes it easy for retrieval too. As for phone calls, I think just because the caller's number is shown, it's still nice to greet the person you call and affirm it's actually you calling and not someone else using your phone. Found a lot of silence when I answered the phone for someone else. Furthermore, we still have landlines which doesn't allow us to actually see the caller's number. Those who don't have caller ID, especially. Right?
I want to quickly address something in Maggie's text message there. And it's a mixture of full words and text speak,
yeah.
Right? And now, this is not a kind of criticism,
yeah.
But that is exactly a good example of how to communicate effectively via WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Now, if that was sent through via email, that would be one of those, I don't know. Because you know, about is, has become ABT, because has become BCUZ. Mm-hmm. You know, these little things, and I think that's partly where part of the problem is. Even when I'm crafting out a WhatsApp message or a text message, I'm all about the capital letters and the punctuation. And people say, why? Just the way I was taught, you know?
Yeah.
Go on then. Any more?
Well, yeah, I could go on. 6806 says there, you know, hi there, afternoon. I think a separate class for writing professional emails should be taught to those in positions of leaderships like secretaries or presidents of school clubs. For phone etiquette, I think it's best to teach it via community-based learning centres. Instead of schools, community town halls can conduct these soft skills. Oh, and by the way, I'm 22 years old. And on that note, we can also use automated scripts to automatically format formal messages, so a compromise between modern brief slangs and proper professional emails. That's a very good suggestion. And actually, if you use Google, if you use Gmail, it tends to learn you know, your behavior. But if your behavior is bad and your etiquette is bad, then it's just going to recommend you.
But do you honestly think that people will go to community-based learning centers to learn phone and email etiquette? I don't.
Not if they don't use phones and emails anymore.
Yeah.
Then, you know, they won't see the point unless they need to use it at the workplace. If it's like a plus point point on their resume or something, then they might go. Otherwise, I don't see why, especially like, again, the younger generation, why would they want to learn it if they don't use it enough?
Yeah, I think it should just be, it's like some, you know, Instagram contest thingy where, you know, you partake in it, you do some, enter some quiz, learn about the ways in fun ways. That maybe may help the young ones to learn
GR8.
You know what kind of emails have good etiquette? Scam and spam emails.
That's true. That's how you know this.
Probably because they were like formatted in 99 or 98 or something, but they still follow that same template with the introductions and the who they are. And it's very short and sweet if you read it. It's not too long, not too short. They have proper etiquette.
Over to our second story before we get carried away.
Yes.
200 million kids back at school.
Yeah, so as we are racing to find a treatment for coronavirus, China is still very much in lockdown mode. More than half of the country's 1.4 billion people are now restricted from leaving their homes in many ways. So there's like no public gathering allowed. And even, you know, some areas, there's no schools. So this is actually to help limit the spread of the new virus. But schools are an essential part of every child. And that is why they are now turning to online education as a way to fill this gap. And this has become a boom for some of the industry players. Take after-school operator Zhaoyo Youkai Education Technology, which launched its digital program 2 years ago and was only making about 10% of its revenue from online classes. But today, it is the only way for the company to generate cash. And all of the company's classes have now moved online. Some of the parents have signed up for online classes because they're afraid that their children won't be able to keep up with their peers when the schools reopen. Many provinces and schools have also requested that children tune into online courses during this time. And this sudden surge is also overwhelming for these industry players. Software engineers at 17 EdTech, it's a company that sells products and services to public school systems for online education. They have apparently been working day and night since late January to deal with this demand. And then now you also have big established players who are trying to make the most of the trend in what can be a very highly competitive market, because we've all spoken about the rise of, you know, online courses and online education. TAL Education, which operates online and offline courses, they claim more than 2.3 million students have enrolled their services. The company has also built an AI research lab, and they've spent heavily on promotional campaigns for its online school. And this could actually have an impact on the offline education industry. Most of the online education companies are offering basic kindergarten to 12th grade classes for free during this period. And they're actually hoping that after the virus has subsided, these users would probably just become paying customers because, you know, they've gotten used to it, right? And if that happens, offline education will see a huge impact. You know, you may see empty classrooms, there will be empty buildings, offices, rentals, you know, that they probably can't afford to pay anymore. But China is really going full on. They're channeling all its technological might into making sure that kids can do their lessons remotely. The Ministry of Education in China introduced the National Internet Cloud Classroom, and it's supported by more than 7,000 servers and designed to cater to 50 million elementary and middle school students at the same time. So that, for me, sounds very much like the future of education, right? Instead of like, oh, we've got 7,000 new teachers, you go like, nope, we have 7,000 new servers to teach kids in the future itself, right? So lessons cover 12 academic subjects, including moral education and epidemic education. Meanwhile, China Education Television is now broadcasting online learning programs through satellite to remote areas with weak internet connections. But that's not to say that there isn't anything bad about, you know, online education. It's a very sudden boom, so a lot of parents are not a fan of this. A mother of two in Zhengzhou told the Washington Post that she's now not just doing the cooking and laundry for her two children, but also copying test papers by hand and then trying to wrangle the technology for these online classes. Some kids are struggling to adapt to online classes because they are already dealing with cabin fever. Not only that, they're just, you know, stuck in this house where they can't go out, they're actually just thinking about playing and they don't want to study at all. So parents are now becoming teachers' assistants and nannies, according to one who wrote on Weibo. And in the southern city of Shenzhen, teachers at the Mingdi Experimental School were trying to come to grips with technology on the first day back at you know, online school, because some parents who are working, they can't supervise their children during work days. Some families don't have computers. And those with more than one child may not have more than one device. Childcare in many families in China is provided by grandparents who may not be internet savvy. And then there's also the structure of school days. So offline education gives children that mindset shift when they step into the school. It's school hours, it's from 8 to 1 or whatever it is. And then you come back, you get to do your own things, right? Now that they're, you know, grounded and you're at home, that separation of mind is going to be very difficult. So while online education is gaining a lot of momentum, time will only tell if this is, you know, going to be the future once the virus subsides.
Sorry.
I don't know if this is a good thing or bad thing. That's all I wanted to say. Yeah. I'm not sure if this is a positive or negative.
Well, if we look at the thing that we spoke about the other day, and the question that we asked was whether or not if you were given the opportunity to work from home, would you do it if you were monitored?
Mm.
This is a kind of very similar thing to that, right? And, you know, people for the most part said, no, I wouldn't want to do it because what's the point in working at home if you're being monitored? And this is the trouble that they're having with China.
Yeah.
When people are working at home, they're not used to being monitored and having to check in and doing all of this kind of stuff. It's all very, very face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
So these kids are technically the first generation to really be experiencing in this. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some toothache as they move through it, right?
Pushback.
Pushback, of course. It'd be interesting to see what happens from this. Right, a break. We've got Queen up next with Seven Seas of Rye. If you want to get in touch regarding the poll, we are asking, should students learn email and phone etiquette at school? Why or why not? 018-789-8899 via WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Poll still stands at 95-5 on Instagram. Over on Twitter, we're at 94-6. We'll be right back. Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.